Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Pastor Jose Tirado. I am from Cristo Rey United Methodist Church, about two blocks that way, not far from here. It's been a wonderful evening so far with the praise band and the choir singing and the two young ladies reading of the scriptures. It's been an amazing evening so far, and I want to thank you. I want to thank Pastor Monica for inviting me and just for this whole ministerium for coming together. Today's message is titled One of One, and it's going to come to us from the reading that we just heard, the reading of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 19. My wife and I, and she's sitting right there, we have a fairly large family. By today's standards, we have five children. We have Hunter, who's 21, Alexa, who's 20, Sienna, who's 15, Jose, who's 13, and Jayla, who's 12. And at one point in our life, we had nine. There's seven of us. At one point in our lives, we had nine kids in our home because our son, Hunter, God bless him, he has a great heart. Instead of bringing home lost puppies, he would bring home lost kids. And in high school, he had two friends who didn't have a place to stay. So he brought them home, and we welcomed them into our family. So we had my wife and I, Hunter, Alexa, Sienna, Kikito, or Jose, Jayla, and then Joshua, and Katre, and a boxer and a pit bull. So we were a pretty big house. Now, we never had a lot, but we always had enough. And that's how wonderful God is. We always, always had enough. Now, Hunter and Katre are married, and they're in the military. Alexa is in her junior year at Millersburg University, and she's preparing to transfer down to Tennessee and move down there this coming winter. My little ones, Sienna is in high school, and the other two are in middle school. And Joshua is in his junior year at Messiah University. Now, last night, after being out of the house for 3 years, and not gone, but out of the house, he came home last night and he said to my wife and I that he needed to talk to us. Now, he brought his girlfriend, so immediately we think, she's pregnant. Oh my God. That's immediately what we think. So he says, no, but can we go into the other room and talk? I said, sure, no problem. So we go into the other room. And he wanted to thank us. He wanted to thank us for what we did so many years ago. Now, we told him, we said, Joshua, you don't need to thank us. We love you. We would do this 10 times over. But he's at a point in his life right now where he's dealing with a lot of skeletons that were in his closet. He's dealing with some ghosts from the past with his mother and family issues and things that happened while he was in high school. And he needed for us to know that he really, truly, and heartfully appreciated what we did for him. It was really, really important that he knew that we knew what it meant to him. So that got me thinking. And it got me thinking about today's scripture reading because I give thanks to God, right? I give thanks to God every day. In my prayers, I always start out like Jesus taught us how to pray. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give praise and glory to God before you ask him for anything. So I always start my prayers by thanking God for everything that he has given me, for everything that he has done for me. But I started thinking, do I really thank him? Do I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, give thanks to God for what he has done for me? I mean, I should, right? Because I want Jesus and I want God to know that I am so thankful for everything, all the blessings that they have bestowed upon me and upon my family. But do I really do that? It's always like, I always say, thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you, God, for doing that. Things happen throughout my day, and I say, oh, Lord, thank you. But I say it so nonchalantly. You know, it's like, it's just something that I do, something that I say. It doesn't come from the bottom of my heart like it should. Like when we give thanks to God, it should come just from deep down inside. And for me, it's just become words that I say as part of my daily rituals. So I got to thinking, and when I read today's scripture, 10 were healed, but only one came back. Now, personally, the Bible doesn't say this, but I believe, and I want to believe, that the other 9 gave thanks and gave praise to God in their own way, in their own time. But only one came back to give glory and to give thanks to the King of Kings. Only one. So then the question we popped in my head was, which one am I? Which one are you? Are we part of that 90% that give thanks to God on our own time? That we give thanks to God when after we've done everything that we need to do and it's second to everything else? Or are we that one? Are we that one of one, that 10% that stops and drops everything and says, no, God, I need you to know that I am so thankful for this. Which one are we? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful evening that you've given us together, Lord. We come together, Father, not as 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different churches, Lord, but as one body united to give you glory and thanks for this, for everything that you have blessed us with, Lord. For the wonderful spirit in our lives, Lord. For the joy that it is to worship and serve you, Lord. For just the blessings of being able to be called children of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all of that and for so many more things that just don't come to mind right now, Father. But right now, Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit fills this sanctuary, Lord, that you may touch our hearts, Father, and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be able to hear your word, and not only hear your word, but listen to your word and then leave here acting on your word, Lord Father. We ask, God, that you just touch us in a very profound way so that we may be able to glorify, and that everyone that we come across may be able to say, this is a child of God. Father, I ask tonight, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth may be led by your Holy Spirit, Father, and not by my own selfish desires, Lord. May they glorify you first before anything else, Lord God. And may your will be done in this sanctuary tonight, Lord Jesus. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So tonight, it's not going to be long. The message is not going to be long. But when we read this story, and I know every pastor says that. When we read this story, when we read this story of Jesus and the lepers, I personally believe that we always read it too quickly, right? So I want us to go into it, and I want us to understand. Look at these 10 guys and see what it is exactly that we're dealing with, right? Because it's lepers that we're talking about. It's leprosy. It's not a blind man who's part of, even though they're not a contributor to society, they're still part of society. It's not a deaf mute. It's not somebody that's crippled. It's lepers that we're dealing with. I mean, leprosy was so bad that it was a disease of the flesh. You had missing limbs. Just the smell alone of the rotting flesh was just so horrible. It was a horrible disease, and if you were found to have leprosy, you were excommunicated. You were taken out of the village, taken away from your family, taken away from your wife, from your husband, from your children, from your grandkids. You were set outside in the leper colony, and you would never see them again. Imagine being taken away from your family, being taken away from your kids, from your grandkids, never to see them again. That's how horrible the disease that we're talking about was. These 10 guys who had this disease. Now, it was a disease of the flesh, where your flesh is rotted away. The pain was horrible. But being a family man, I can only imagine that the emotional pain would have been 10 times worse than any physical pain. I know when I go away from my family for any length of time, I miss them so much. And I know that they may be a pain in my tuchus, but I miss them when I'm away, and I love them, and I couldn't imagine my life without them. So imagine what these guys had to go through. They were put out in a colony, and they would roam in groups, begging for food, begging for money. And they would do this from far away because leprosy was contagious, so you couldn't come near people. And that's why today's scripture says that they yelled to Jesus. That they yelled to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, they probably weren't looking for the type of mercy that Jesus gave them when they asked for mercy. They were probably looking for a handout for food, for money, which is what everybody else gave them. But Jesus gave them something much more valuable than that. And I'm sure that they didn't understand that at first, because Jesus said to them, "Go and see the priest. Go and show yourselves to the priest." That's what Jesus told them. Now, just so you know what that means, in those times, the priest had, on top of everything else that they had to do, because we all know that pastors don't have enough to do. So on top of everything else that the priest did, they had one very special duty. And that was, if you had a disease such as leprosy and you were miraculously healed, then you would go to show yourself to the priest. The priest would inspect your whole body and they would declare you clean. That was your ticket back into the community. That was your ticket back to see your family. That was your ticket back to your wife, to your children, to your grandkids, to your brothers, to your sisters. That was your ticket away from that pain, from that suffering. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." But I'm sure that when Jesus said that, they didn't understand what Jesus was telling them. But on faith, they started walking. While they're walking, one guy trips because his crutch hits a leg that previously wasn't there. Another guy looks down at his hands and he sees that fingers that had been missing are now miraculously back. They look at each other and the hairs and the boils that had been on their skin are now gone. Now, 9 of them see this as their way back, and they run out to the priest. They run down to go to the priest so they can get back to their lives, so they can get back to the community. But one says, "Hold on, wait a minute. There's only one person that did this. This wasn't done because of anything that I did. This was done because I asked Jesus Christ to have mercy on me, and I need to go back to him to give him the thanks and the glory for doing this in my life." Brothers and sisters, 9 rushed on ahead to see the priest, eager to see their family. And you know what? Maybe they said to themselves, "Well, I'll thank God on Sabbath when I'm allowed back into the temple. I'll thank God then." Maybe another one said, "Well, once I start working, now that I'm able to work, I'll double up on my tithings, and I'll thank God that way." Another one said, "Well, you know what? I'll volunteer somewhere, and I'll thank God that way." God does not need our money. God does not need our works. You know what God wants from us? And it's very simple. Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17 says, You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasures in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. Only one out of 10 came back to Jesus, and he prostrated himself before him. Just so you know, not knelt, but prostrated. This is kneeling. This is prostrated. Knowing that the person that stands behind, before you is so reverent that you can't even make eye contact with him. Knowing that he has blessed you in such a way that you will never, ever be able to repay him. And he poured out his heart. He poured out his heart crying and thanking Jesus for giving him his life back, for giving him his family back, for giving him his kids back, for giving him his grandkids back. Just pouring out his heart. When you say, everything else in my life can wait because I need to make sure that God knows how thankful I am, brothers and sisters, that is being one of one. That is being one of one. Anybody can thank God at their convenience. Anybody can put their family first. Anybody can put their church first. But only few will make an effort to be that one of one. Only few will be that 10%. This one guy, he could have gone back with the others. He could have gone back with them and seen the priest and would have been declared clean and would have been allowed back into his community. And after that, then he could have came back and tried to find Jesus. Now, whether he found him or not, it wouldn't matter because he tried. And we all know in today's day and age, when you say something to somebody, say, oh, but I tried. But I tried to do this. I tried to do that. This guy didn't want to wait to try. He wanted to make sure that it got done. He wanted to make sure that Jesus knew, because in Jesus knowing, then God knows. And that's what he wanted. He wanted God to know that he was thankful for what God had done for him. It was important to him that Jesus knew the sincere and just how that joy that he had in his heart, he wanted to declare it to God. Brothers and sisters, it was important to him, and it should be just as important to us. For me, it's hard because I found myself being challenged by this. I found myself saying, wow, I am not doing this. I am not saying, I am not making sure that my joy that I know that Jesus has given me is not being, I don't want to say manifested, but it's not being communicated to God the way that it should be. And it hurt me. It hurt me inside, because as a man of God, as a pastor, as a leader of his people, that's one thing that I should have. I should be able to show and to tell and to just pour out my heart to God. But I don't. I'm being honest with you. I don't, because praying has become something that I do, not something that I am. As we go into this week of Thanksgiving, I'm going to challenge myself. I want to challenge everyone here. Starting tomorrow, before you lay down, before you go to bed, take one thing out of your day, one thing that you were so happy that God did for you, that you were so happy that happened in your life. Take that one thing and make sure that God knows how grateful you are for that one thing. Take it 1 week at a time. Challenge it for 1 week. Let's see if, as a church, as a family, as a ministerium, we can take 7 days and give heartfelt thanks to God for one thing each day. Let us pray. Father Almighty, you are good and you are holy, and we glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We know that at times we don't praise you the way that we should. We don't thank you the way that we should, Father. But that doesn't mean that we don't feel it in our hearts, Lord God. Because we can't express it, Father, that's why you send the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, Lord. And in wordless groans, Lord Jesus Christ, we cry out your holy name, Lord. Father, help us, Lord God, to be able to see you where at times we wouldn't be able to see you, Lord. To be able to know that you are near, even when we don't feel you near, Lord God. To be able to know that even in our darkest times and through everything that happens to us every day, Father, that you do not leave our side, Lord God. Help us to see you in everything that we do and in everyone that we meet, Lord Jesus Christ, because that is where you are, in the heart of your people, in the heart of your followers, in the heart of those that know you, in the hearts of those that love you, and even those in the heart of those that haven't accepted you yet, Lord. Father, we ask that as we go into this week of Thanksgiving, Lord, that you help us, that you allow us, that you open our hearts so that we may be able to glorify your name and that we may be able to give you thanks for one particular thing every single night this week, Lord, leading up into Thanksgiving, Lord, and leading up into next Sunday, Father, that allow us, Lord God, to just take one thing each day and glorify your name, Lord God. We know that this shouldn't be just a one-week thing. We know that this should be an everyday life thing. But we're human, Father. And please forgive us for our sins, Lord God. Please forgive us for our lack of perfection, Father. But we know that you love us. And even though we're sinful and far from perfect, you look into our hearts and you love us the same. Father, be with us this week. Guide us. And may your lantern be a light unto our path. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.